Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. The first one is where you can find all the things that we do here, including the show and the archives, thousands of archives, hundreds of Brain Trust members, thousands of articles, and the newsletter and the blog, lots and lots of stuff to help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful in your small business. And, of course, our knowledge base, askjim.biz, where you get small business answers now. So I hope you'll check those out. And don't forget to check out the body of work that Tom Mast has deposited with us over the years. We appreciate him very much. Tom is the author of Over a Barrel. He's a world-class energy expert. And, Tom, give us your website, please.
It's overabarrelbook.com.
Overabarrelbook.com. Check it out, folks. And you're going to like this book. It's a simple guide to the oil shortage. Tom, you and I agree I think this is a defining topic. And I still can't believe this. To me, this is an example of why we don't have leadership in Washington, because we got two candidates that are scratching, doing everything they can to win this election, and neither one of their organizations are smart enough to realize that if either one of them said, I want to make the United States the leader for the rest of this century in alternative fuels, if they said that and then came up with some kind of a reasonable plan, I think that would win the election, that one plank in the platform. What do you think?
Well, I think we definitely need to do that. I think.
But why aren't any of the guys doing it?
Well, they're changing their positions. They wet their finger and hold it up in the air, and like Clinton used to, and then
the opposite of leadership.
Exactly, and then they just hope that by changing their positions on a weekly basis, they're with the majority of the people. And I was just wishing yesterday, as I was listening to them on TV, that one of them would have the guts to stand up and say, "Hey, America, our gasoline prices are here to stay."
Yeah.
And I can't fix them, and quit whining about it, and let's get on and solve our problems.
That got your buddy Phil Graham in trouble, calling us whiners,
I agree
with him about that.
Leaders sometimes get in trouble.
and Phil Graham is a leader. I like him. What is your attitude about biofuels?
I'm not real strong on biofuels. My attitude about corn-based ethanol was terrible to begin with, and it's gotten worse, I think.
And it's created all kinds of other problems, too, hasn't it?
And that's typical of our government. I can remember President Bush 3 or 4 years ago at the State of Union speech standing up and saying that corn-based ethanol is going to solve all our problems. And then the next year it was hydrogen. And, you know, it just proves those guys, they don't have a technical background.
Right.
They don't spend full time on these problems.
They need to stand aside and let
Engineers and scientists solve these problems.
Yeah, I agree. Well, the ethanol situation is not only have we thrown a bunch of money at it, but it's created higher corn prices, higher commodity prices, higher food prices, and it hasn't lowered oil prices, and it's basically been a big loser for everybody, hasn't it? except corn farmers.
Exactly, and it never had the potential in the first place to solve the problem. We're spending $700 billion a year buying foreign oil.
Yep.
And it's destroying our dollar, the value of our dollar.
You sound like a Boone Pickens commercial now.
The value of our dollar and the price of oil feed on each other.
Mm-hmm.
One goes up and the other goes down, and then next week it gets a little bit worse. And so we're destroying our economic power along with putting ourselves in a vulnerable position with the rest of the world.
I want to stay with this biofuels thing for just another minute. So,
sure.
There are lots of biofuels. There's corn, there's sugar, which both of those to me are losers. Switchgrass, those kinds of renewables, I don't know if they have a problem. The only reason I'm kind of like those a little bit is because when switchgrass goes up, it doesn't raise prices at the grocery store.
Well, it could be, and I haven't done the calculations on how much land it takes to grow enough switchgrass to do any good, but that's sort of the problem with any of these biomass fuels is right. that it takes a lot of land and it takes a lot of water to grow them, and all the good farmland is being used for farms now,
right.
Farming foodstuffs, and so it seems to me that any significant growth of any biomass, be it switchgrass or something else, is necessarily going to take away from the land that we're using for mm-hmm. farms.
Well, the other thing about switchgrass is people have been studying this alternative for years, and it doesn't seem that we're any farther along. So if it were going to be any kind of a reasonable alternative, I think we'd already be getting some production out of it, wouldn't we?
Well, I think so. You know, it couldn't be that we have some serious technological problems there. I don't think we have.
Yeah.
And when a new idea or a new source reaches the point of being more or less competitive with conventional fuels like oil, then it takes off. And wind has taken off. Wind has subsidies.
That's what I want to talk. Hold on to that thought, Tom. I want you to talk about that. When we come back, folks, I'm going to ask Tom to stay with us a little bit longer because I want him to talk to us about nuclear and the T. Boone Pickens idea, which includes a lot of wind. You know, the kind that, you know, not like the kind you get on a talk show. This is good wind. Stand by. Quick break. 29 after. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me.
Are we going out tonight?
Amazing way.
He's business's bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad. That's right.
He's Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate.
Girl, I'm bad, 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 bad. Amazing why. Yeah,
yeah. Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate, and we're still visiting with our good friend Tom Masties, the author of Over a Barrel. The website is overabarrelbook.com. I encourage you to check that out. Over a Barrel. Find it on wherever books are sold, right, Tom?
Amazon.com is the best place to get it.
The best place. All right, so check that out. We're talking about energy. You know, one of the things that I think is pretty a classic example of how screwed up our government is on energy. The government has prevented us from drilling, from using our own natural resources, which has contributed to the high price of oil, which has contributed to doing what you said a minute ago about sending $700 billion a year somewhere else in the world, out of our country. We can't use our own resources. And then when speculators do the legal thing of investing in the future of oil, which naturally causes the price of oil to go up, they blame them instead of turning the finger around on themselves for helping to create the high price of oil, the high price of future oil. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that speculators can't drive the price of oil up too much because those people are not buying real oil; they're just buying a piece of paper,
right?
And they have to sell that piece of paper after
mm-hmm.
a while, so they can. They can place a bet on future oil, but they're in it for the short term. They're in it to make some money, and sooner or later they have to sell that. And so,
well, that's what's been happening.
Their net
though.
Effect over any significant amount of time is not great.
But you know, Tom, I can't believe the price of oil has doubled in the last 12 months. And I don't believe demand has gone up double in the last 12 months.
It hasn't, but the price of the dollar has gone way down.
Well, that's part of it. You're right about that.
The price of oil in euros has not gone up anything like what we've seen in this country.
Right.
So what I said before is the price of oil and the price of euros are feeding on each other.
That's another issue. The price of the value of the dollar, because oil is denominated in dollars, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. So when our dollar go ahead.
They're interrelated, and so among other things, our heavy imports of oil are driving down the price of the dollar, and that drives mm-hmm. up the price of not only oil that Americans purchase from overseas, but all the other goods that they purchase from overseas.
What do you think about T. Boone Pickens' proposal for a lot of wind and I guess maybe some solar too?
Well, I think it's creative, and I think that's exactly the kind of thing that can happen in this country if the government will just stay out of people's way.
It's the kind of thinking we need, isn't it?
Exactly. He's advocating putting up huge numbers of wind farms and picking up 20% of the electric generation in this country by wind, and wind is already moving forward. I'm not sure what percentage it generates now, but perhaps it's 1% or something. And then
if you go out to the Coachella Valley in California, they got a zillion of them out there in that,
well,
in that valley.
Well, there are a zillion of them in Texas, too. Texas leads the country. And then taking the natural gas that's used in power plants to generate fuel now and taking that for 20% of the power in this country and diverting that into automobiles. Well, of course, that's a little bit easier said than done. You have to to put a high-pressure tank in the car, and then you have to have ways of filling up the tanks with gas at the service station.
You got to have that capability.
But all those problems are solvable, and so it's an innovative strategy, and it's the kind of thing we need to be working on. And we don't need to place all our bets on one technology because that'll get us in trouble.
You like nuclear too, don't you?
I do like nuclear because I like electric cars. I think hopefully we can get good enough batteries and get them soon that we can have plug-in hybrids and perhaps all electric cars.
And the nuclear coming online would help the electrical grid.
Then nuclear is one of the options for generating that power, and it's a really good option.
It's a long-term process to get a nuclear plant online, though, Tom.
Well, it is, but you're never going to get there if you don't get started.
You got to get started, no question about it. But nuclear is not a fix for the next 5 years, probably.
Well, we're going to have. If I have to get one point across on this show, it is that we've got to get away from this attitude that everything is a short-term fix.
Yeah, I agree. No, I agree with you. I agree with you. No question about it. Hey, Tom, give us the website again one more time.
It's overabarrelbook.com.
Hey, Tom, thanks for being here today. Good job today.
Well, thanks very much for having me.
We'll see you next time. Quick break. Right back after these messages with our good friend Pam Harper.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.